Okay, Sicha Saran Os Chav Beis. So it's amazing how these things work out. Rabbi Nachman in Os Chav Beis talks about the importance of his kashrus l'tzadikim, and we know the famous Hasidic statement that the kriya is ma'or the zman. Now, whatever is happening in Parshas HaShavua is very much connected to what's happening in the world. And therefore, it's not by chance that we come to Sicha Chav Beis, where Rabbi Nachman teaches us about the importance of attaching oneself to a true tzaddik. Dafka the week of Shabbos, Parshas Noach. Because of all of the great people we encounter in the Torah, I think probably the only person in Chumash who's directly referred to as a tzaddik is Noach. No? Am I wrong? Is there anyone else who's called a tzaddik? Noach is called a tzaddik in Perek Vav Pasuk Tes, in Perek Zayin Pasuk Aleph. Noach is called a tzaddik. What it means to be connected to a tzaddik? Why one should be connected to a tzaddik? Yosef is not referred to as a tzaddik in the Torah. We call him Yosef. A lot of people we call tzaddik. But Noach is the only one who is referred to specifically as an individual, as a tzaddik in the Torah. He's the only one who's called tzaddik. Right. It talks about tzaddik in other contexts. Yeah, right? Avram says, you know, are you going to kill the righteous with the wicked when he's trying to defend Sodom? The only person who's called tzaddik, I think, is Noach, yeah?
Is he not called tzaddik to knock it down by hell, but to say,
tzaddik bedor asav. Okay, so you're darshaning lignai. Yesh lignai. Here's Darshan Lignai. Okay, but we don't have to Darshan Lignai. Right? No, the Sam Rebbe used to say, if you look at that Rashi, it says, Yesh Darshan, right. Yesh Darshan Lignai, Rabbi Sainu Darshan. I think so. Oh yeah? I think the Divrei all says it. Okay, Chevra, good. Let's go. Tov ma'od misha zochel yos mekorav letzadik amiti. Tov ma'od misha zochel yos mekorav letzadik amiti. It's very good for a person who's zocha to be close to a true tzaddik. Why? Practically why? Says Rabbi Nachman, Ki lasid lavo ksiv le'echoz b'chanfos ha'aretz. Pasuk in Iyov describes in the end of days, le'echoz b'chanfos ha'aretz, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take hold of the corners of the earth, v'yinaru rishayim mimana, and Hashem is going to shake off all of the wicked people. And Hashem's going to grab the world, whatever that means, by the corner, and Hashem's going to shake away the Rishayim, and only the Tzaddikim are going to remain. And therefore, Sheyochos bechanfos haaretz v'yina'er as a Rishayim, right? Hashem's going to shake away the Rishayim. Aval mishu mekorav letzadik amiti, but a person who's connected to a true tzaddik, azay yachzik v'yochez atzmo b'tzaddik, that person has the ability to grab hold of the tzaddik, you hang on to the tzaddik, even if you yourself are not yet a tzaddik, even though v'amich kulam tzaddikim, every Jew is a tzaddik, but to be attached to a higher tzaddik gives a person a greater chance of surviving. V'yeinishar kayim v'lo yeh ninar im harishoyim me'achir sheyachzich v'yocheiz atzvo b'tzaddik. The person who's holding on to the tzaddik will not be shaken off, as the Rishayim are. And by maintaining his kesher to the tzaddik, he has a better chance of surviving that period when HaKadosh Baruch Hu rids the world of Risha. There's a lot of things I want to share with you about his kashrus l'tzaddikim, but I guess in fulfillment of being makasher myself and ourselves to the tzaddik, I'm not going to share with you too many outside sources today, and I'm going to let Rabbi Nachman do most of the talking. We're going to see 8 pieces in Sichos Haran. 8 pieces in Sichos Haran, where hopefully we'll gain an appreciation of what it means to be mekusher to tzaddikim, the milas of being attached to a tzaddik, the dangers of not being attached to a tzaddik, and perhaps a little chizuk about the tzaddikim of our generation, and also how we can attach ourselves to tzaddikim even when we don't have the opportunity to live in the times of tzaddikim who are no longer present in this world. Okay, so let's start. We have a lot to look at today. Let's go to Reish Nun Beis. Okay, Sichos Haran, Reish Nun Beis. Just so we have an appreciation, I'm going to do a little page turning today. So we have a little bit of an appreciation of what a person can gain by being close to the tzaddik. Sichas are on Rishon Beis. Shemati b'shmo she'amar. Kishemikoravim letzadik ha'emes. When a person is close to a true tzadik, toamim tam gan eden. A person gets a taste of Gan Eden. Through his attachment to the tzaddik, he gets a taste of Gan Eden. In a world where the gullus is so dark and so stifling, a Jew can get a taste of a better place, of a higher world. A person can get a taste of Gan Eden through his attachment, through his closeness to the tzaddik ha'emes. Ki isa b'zara kadosh, because Zara kadosh says, sha'tzaddik hu ganino diginsa. The tzaddik is the garden of the gardens. I don't know if that means it's the best part of Gan Eden, or maybe it's the Gan to the Gan, it's maybe the entrance to Gan Eden. But the point is that when a person is attached to a tzaddik, he gets a taste of something geuladik. He gets a taste of something that's purely ruchni. And he lifts himself up above the filth of this world. So therefore, if a tzaddik can give me access to such great things, if it can allow me to live a geula dika life, even in this gullus that we're living in, so I would imagine we would want to find and seek out not just a tzaddik, not just any tzaddik, but a person should make the efforts to find who the greatest tzaddik he can attach himself to, and to really attach himself. Sometimes a tzaddik is on such a high level, it's hard to get attached to him. But we should seek out the greatest tzaddik we could possibly find. Turn to Sichas Aran Nun Aleph. Nun Aleph is a long piece. We learned a little bit of it last year at various points. For those who are using the same edition with the Shuv Chayran and the Sichas Aran, this one that some of us have, it's on page Mem Zayin. Okay, but it's about four paragraphs from the end of Nun Aleph. It's a small paragraph that begins with the word Ha'olam. Nun Aleph. Sichas Aran Nun Aleph. Starting with the paragraph with the word Ha'olam. Ha'olam omrim she'ein tzarech levakish gedolos. The world says, the American dream tells us, right? The American dream tells us that there's a mila to being an average Joe. Having a nice life, a simple life. Right? The American dream, I have my little house, and I have a son, and I have a daughter, and I have a dog, and I have a job, and I drive my truck. You know, and everything's good. Rabbi Nachman says, the world says, if you have, you know, if you go for average, that's also okay. Ha'olam omrim she'ein tzarech levakish gedolos. As Jews, we don't believe in average. There's nothing average about the Jewish people, and there's nothing neutral about the Jewish people. Like the Gemara says in Megillah, we're compared to the dirt, and we're compared to stars. When we rise to the highest of levels. When we fall to the deepest, darkest places. Says the Svar, no, there's no middle. There's no middle ground for Yid. Your life's going to be bracha, your life's going to be klala. So the world says you don't need to be mavakish gedolos. You don't need to go big all the time. You don't need to strive for greatness. V'ani omer. But I say, Rabbi Nachman says, I say, shetzarech dafko levakish gedolos. We have to go big. In our Yiddishkeit, if we really believe in this, we can't be parv about the way that we live our life. We can't live our life saying, yeah, I know I should live a different life, but this is fine, this is like a bidyeved track. Don't be a bidyeved Jew. Do not be a bidyeved Jew. Make choice in your life to set yourself up for lechatchila living. Levakish ulechapes acher tzadik hagadol b'yoser dafka. And when that comes to choosing a tzadik to attach myself to, I should want to seek out the biggest tzadik and hold on to him. If I really believe that Hashem is going to shake the world, and the Rishab are going to fall aside, and you're not confident that you yourself are that huge tzaddik, so attach yourself to someone who you're absolutely sure is going to make the cut. Find the biggest tzaddik you can find. Ukvar mevuar mizeh besvarim, shetzarech lechapez daika achar tzaddik v'harebi hagadol b'yoser. A person has to try, in any way possible, to attach himself to the biggest tzaddikim. Again, even if he can't have a full daily relationship with certain tzaddikim, they're not accessible to you in such a way, but at least to find a way, whatever that means, to be makasha yourself, to be emotionally connected to that tzaddik, maybe to the Torah teachings of that tzaddik. Now you read a piece like this and you feel frustrated, you say, but we don't have the tzaddikim like the good old days. We don't have the tzaddikim that once walked planet Earth once upon a time. And maybe the tzaddikim in our time are not big enough tzaddikim. So maybe that's why people don't respect the tzaddikim. Says Rabbi Nachman, it's not true. The Gemara already tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the future, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that the tzaddikim are going to be few throughout history. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu scattered the souls of the tzaddikim throughout the generations. Throughout all the generations. That means in any time period, in any door, there are tzaddikim who we 100% can attach to, and they are tzaddikim amitim, in the way Rabbi Nachman is describing here. In Sichos around Kuf Tzadi Beis, he's mechazek us on this point. That we have to believe that the tzaddikim of our time, Kuf Tzadi Beis, the tzaddikim of our time, are the real tzaddikim. And there are tzaddikim amitim. Yes, of course there are people who claim to be tzaddikim and are not tzaddikim. But that doesn't mean that in our world there are not tzaddikim amitim, real, authentic tzaddikim who we can try to attach ourselves to. Pam achas dibarti mo zichrono levracha, Kuf Tzadi Beis. One time I was speaking to Rabbi Nachman. Minyan zeh she'ena olim rotzim lahamin. This is so true in our world today, where people are so quick to criticize Rabbanim and Tzaddikim. The world doesn't want to believe. Look at the Lashon. Shein Olam Rotzim Lahamin. The world does not want to believe. Shu Nimtzam Achshav Tzaddikim Gedolim. B'mayla Ma'od Kamo B'doros HaYishon. The world does not want to believe that the Tzaddikim of our time are just as precious in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, are just as important to us as the tzaddikim of the olden days. Person thinks, if I would have lived in this time period or that time period, then I'd have tzaddikim to attach to. A person, chas v'shalom, doesn't want to believe that the tzaddikim of our time are real tzaddikim like the Doros Rishonim. Anava Amar, so Rabbi Nachman said back to Rabbi Nassan, im ma'aminim ba'ashem yisbarach, tzrichim lahamin she'et tzaddikim gamkin. What a lashon. If you believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still around, now many don't believe. Many say Hashem is, God is dead. Hashem is no longer around. But if you believe, even though you haven't really seen Hashem the way you'd like to see Him, Hashem in the olden days was really Gishmak. Hashem by Har Sinai, Hashem by Kriyas Yamsuf, right? Hashem by the Makos. That was a Hashem that I would believe in. But the Hashem today, it's not like it used to be. Says Rabbi Nachman, if you believe that Hashem is still out there, if you believe that Hashem is still real, then you have to believe that the tzaddikim are also absolutely real, and the tzaddikim are of great value in our time, and if that, there hasn't been any change. Ki kamo Hashem yisbarach nimtza bavadai, kamo kein nimtzam tzaddikim bavadai b'chol dor v'dor. A Jew has to believe that just like Hashem spans the generations, Hashem doesn't go out of style, Hashem is not old fashioned. Hashem is able to be accessed from any point in world history. So too, there are tzaddikim at every point in world history. To believe that just because a certain tzaddik is no longer, it doesn't mean it's the end of the world. It's not a churban, it's not the end of the world. The world can go on. I brought along today, for your viewing pleasure, a very halakha sefer. It's called Oros Shlomo. Take a look at this. This is Rav Shlomo Karlbach's Perish on Rav Kook's Oros HaTshuva. Okay? Oros Shlomo. Very halik, as you can see from the cover. So in the Oros Shlomo on page 28 and 29, he tells the following. He says, I heard from the Rebbe of Babov that when the sons of the Rebbe passed away, some of the tzaddikim were some of the chassidim were sitting together. Yashu chassidav yachad of Shlomo mibabov. This is Shlomo mibabov, the older. Omar echad chassidim. One of the chassidim said, Ani yachol li shava. I'm prepared to swear. Shemachar baboker Hashemesh lo tizrach. When the Halig Rebbe of Tzanz passed away, he says, "The sun. I can swear. I'm positive the sun will not rise tomorrow. Without the Rebbe of Tzanz, the world is over. The world cannot go on. Not possible. The Shemesh will not shine. Hashemesh lo olam lo tashuv lizrach. The sun will never shine again. Ki belia Rebbe mitzanz ein od olam ba'olam hifsik liyaskay. End of the world. Mamish." Lost my Rebbe, I lost my Tzaddik, the world can't go on. Chassid Zakin Acher Kam V'Amar. An elderly Chassid got up at that gathering and he said, listen, I've been around a lot longer than you. Ani Yehudi Zakin. I'm an older Jew. U'kisha Rebbe mi Lublin Nifter. When the Rebbe of Lublin, when the Chos of Lublin, Zecher Tzaddik V'Kol Shavracha passed away. HaChassidim Amru Sheheim Yechol Nishava Shemacher Baboker Hashem Shlo Tizra. The tzaddikim, the chassidim at that time were saying, I'm prepared to swear the sun will never shine again. This is also this week's parsha, by the way. In this week's parsha it says, right, that the cycle of the rising and the setting of the sun is an absolute, it's a guaranteed. You don't have to be nervous about it. So he says, I was around in the older generation when we had this issue, when one of the other great tzaddikim of the generations passed away. And all the chassidim said, this is the end of the world, the sun will never shine again. Aval ein zo emes. The sun shines again. Tamid yihyu tzaddikim. There always will be tzaddikim. There always will be tzaddikim. That's what we have to believe. We can't decide that this is not shayach for us because we don't live in a world with such big tzaddikim. Like Rabbi Nachman is describing here. A tzaddik amiti. There's no such thing as a tzaddik amiti bizman hazeh. That is simply not true. A Jew has to believe that the tzaddikim of our generation were implanted, like the Gemara Baba Basra says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked at the generations and implanted the souls of the tzaddikim throughout the generation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected particular tzaddikim to guide our generation, the ikfas of the Mashiach, and to lead us to the Gula. And we have to believe that those tzaddikim are absolute tzaddikim. And if you don't always understand the behavior of the tzaddik, so go Chazar Lakutei Maran, Tinyana Nun Beis. We talk about, we have questions on Hashem, we have questions on tzaddik. We don't always understand the tzaddikim. Right? But if we know that someone is a real tzaddik, if there's reason to believe this person has a reputation as a real tzaddik, and sometimes he does something or he says something that we're not exactly sure, we don't fully understand. Be mavata yourself to the tzaddik. Be makasha yourself to the tzaddik. That's the greatest protection that a person can have for himself. Rabbi Nachman would tell people, when you daven, let's say you don't believe that there's any one tzaddik today, you're not going to be able to find, like he described in Nun Aleph, the greatest tzaddik, the tzaddik HaGadol B'Yoser. So take all the tzaddikim today. Right? You're not going to have one tzaddik who you're precisely mekash. If I lived, if I could be Rabbi Nachman tzaddik, Rabbi Nachman's chassid, that would be a different story. Today, who am I going to find to be my Rebbe? So be mekash yourself to all the tzaddikim. And you should actually do that. You should pause for a second over the course of the day and think, I want to have his kashrus to all the tzaddikim amitim on planet Earth right now. And I want to be kashrus myself to the tzaddikim who are no longer here. But to pause for a second, when a person comes to Davin and we say, in Shemona Esrei, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, what we're doing is we're being mekashrus ourselves to the tzaddikim, to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Turn to Reish Sadivav. And Reish Sadivav, Rabbi Nachman used to tell his chassidim that when they daven, they should pause for a moment, Reish Sadivav, 296, and be makasha themselves to the tzaddikim. To give yourself someone to back you up. That's what it means. If you want to survive, like he taught us in Chaf Beis, if you want to make sure that you don't get thrown aside when the world is spinning out of control, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shaking the world wildly to shake off all the Rishon. Says Rabbi Nachman in Reish Sadivav, Sichas around Reish Sadivav, B'shasa tefila tzrichin lekasher asmo la tzaddikim shabador. When a person comes to daven, you may not have the opportunity to daven. Maybe you went Yom Kippur, you davened by Tzvi Meir, you're Zocha, you went to Uman for Shoshana, right? And you daven with this tzaddik or that tzaddik, right? But maybe some of the times you're davening in a place where, I don't know, it's a little more simple. You don't feel that you're in the presence of a tzaddik. Says the Rinachman, just close your eyes when you're davening and be mekash yourself to the tzaddikim of the generation. Pause for a moment and think. And maybe you don't even know who those tzaddikim are. Maybe you haven't met those tzaddikim. You've never heard a single Torah from them. You've never interacted with them. You never got a bracha from them. You never saw their hadras panim. But close your eyes for a second and be mekash yourself to the tzaddikim ador. That my tefillah should be able to rise up with them. Like it says, b'simin beiz, b'simin tes, of Lakutim Aran, Chelik Rishon, Bashar Makomos. Al Kain, he is here, La Anashav, Shayom Rukod Matfila. Rabbi Nachman would tell his chavra that before davening they should say, Hareini Mekasher Asmi L'chol HaTzadikim Shebedoreinu. A person should say, I'm davening in conjunction, along with, I'm attached to all the tzaddikim. I don't feel confident coming before Hashem myself. And I may not even feel comfortable coming before Hashem with this seabor that I'm currently in. But I want to attach myself to any righteous Jew, any tzaddik amiti on planet Earth. And I want to know that's my chavra. That by association, that's who I hang out with. I read a great story, I just thought of it now. I don't remember the details exactly, so I'll probably butcher it. But the basic story was, there was this Russian Yid who used to come to a Gemara shir. And he didn't understand the shir at all. And he just sat there, he never understood anything that was going on. So someone asked him, what's the pshat? Why do you come to the shir? It's a waste of your time. So he told this story. He said, before, when I was in Russia, at a time period when the Jewish people were, needless to say, not so beloved, he said, one time I was sitting in a tavern, I was sitting in an inn, I was sitting at some bar, and all of a sudden, some officers came marching in, and they rounded up a group of guys who were sitting at the table right next to me, who were being charged with some type of treason, some type of smuggling, something. And they grabbed me and they pulled me in and they started beating me up. And I said, I'm not with them, I'm just happened to be here. They said, nah, you're sitting close to them, you must be involved with them. So this Russian Jew said, I realized that if I could be found guilty by association, if I can be found guilty by association, if I can take a beating of being part of a chevra that I'm not really a part of, right? So all the more so, I can certainly be found innocent by association. So I come and I sit here, and I listen to those who know how to learn. I don't really understand the word of what's going on here. But I want to be mekasher myself to this group. Because if I can take a beating by loosely being associated, by sitting near a group of people I had no kesher to, so I can sit with you also. And you might think, I don't have a kesher to you, I don't really know what's going on here. But maybe by association, by being in your proximity, maybe that'll be a merit for me. So Rabbi Nachman is saying, be mekasher yourself to the tzaddikim of the generation. They may not be so close to you, and you may not be so close to them. Right? But if you could somehow, even intellectually, in your mind, in your heart, to travel before you daven, to be mekasher yourself to the tzaddik, so then maybe your tefillah will be accepted by association. Yeah?
Being in proximity to tzaddik and everything, is it because, like, if you're in those circumstances, there's more of a chance of being righteous yourself? Or is it just, like, even if I'm in Russia, if I'm in proximity to that, there's some type of...
It's both. I mean, halavai, being in the presence of the tzaddik will have hashvah on you. And you'll become influenced by the tzaddik, and you'll live more like a tzaddik. But sometimes a person, right, sometimes a person is literally, you know, saved just by their association, even if they're totally unworthy.
How does that make sense, though? That second part?
No, I think, again, this week's parsha.
What? Right? It doesn't affect you, though? Like, let's say I'm in the presence of the tzaddik, and it doesn't affect me anyway. What's the logic behind that, like giving you a merit?
It's not so much a merit. Again, Noach's family members weren't necessarily worthy, right, of being saved, but simply because they had a kesher to Noach, you know, they were able to sneak onto the table. So again, you're right. If you look at the person independently, they don't have any merits. And they haven't been influenced by the one who is righteous and has the merit. But simply by association. They're standing, you know, you're standing next to an important person at the right time, and they usher that important person, you know, to the head of the line, and you just happen to be tagging along. Alright. So you get past security. They wave you through, you get backstage. You get into the palace. Even though really they should stop and say, who are you? What's your shaykhus here? But again, by association, a person can get somewhere. And therefore, again, to be makasher ourselves, even from a distance, to the tzaddikim. What happens when a person is not makusher to a tzaddik? Now, Rabbo said, we live in a world, again, today, where it's so hard to just be normal, and to not go out of your mind. A tzaddik helps you from not going out of your mind. When a person attaches himself to someone who's the embodiment of true wisdom, you can literally save yourself from going insane. Take a look, please, at Sichos Aran, Samach Zayin, 67. Samach Zayin. Mi she'eino shomea u'mitzayis l'divrei chachamim amitim. A person who refuses to listen to the guidance, to the advice, to the teachings of the true chacham, who yachol lihishdageya, ignoring true chachamim can lead to insanity. It leads to insanity. Why? Because you're allowing yourself to be influenced and guided by who? By the world, by the crazy world. If you attach yourself to the ideas, to the suggestions, right, if you're listening carefully to the directives of a chacham amiti, you'll save yourself from going mishuga. Ki ikar shigaon shakol mishugam. Says Rabbi Nachman, very interesting. He says, why is a person crazy? What does it mean to be crazy? What are the indications of a person who unfortunately is crazy? Who's insane? Who rak mechamas shu einu mitzayis v'shomei l'divrei habal yisecha. A person who's crazy, right? A clear sign of a person who's not mentally well is a person who refuses to listen to someone who speaks in a very rational, logical, normal way. That a Baal Seichel says to this person who's not of sound mind, don't walk into the street, you're going to get hit by that car, and the person just walks across the street. You're crazy. We say to such a person, you are crazy. you're not doing what's rational. And you're refusing to listen, right, to the very simple advice of one who is rational, one who does know what he's talking about. If this crazy person could, shomea doesn't just mean to hear, it means to process. If this person is not mentally well, could actually process the words that I'm telling them, Shehim Bali Asechel, Bivada, Lohay Meshuga Klal, then the person would not be Meshuga. Ki afal pi shalifi ruach shtus vishiga on shalo, nid melo bevever gamar shu tsarech lele karua, ulis galgal va ashva. Even though this crazy person, in his crazy inside out world, he thinks he needs to walk around in tattered clothing. He thinks he needs to roll in the mud. He thinks he needs to do all these strange things. In his world, that is his world. That makes sense to him. In his world, those are perfectly normal. He doesn't think it's strange at all to do those very strange things. But if the one who's greater than him, who's above him, who knows more than him, says to him, I'm telling you, you don't need to do that. Everyone knows the famous Rabbi Nachman story, right? Of the Turkey prince, he's sitting under the table. And he's being taught, you don't have to. You can still be a turkey and you can still wear clothing. You can still be a turkey, you can still sit at the table, you can eat like a person. Right? You can still call yourself a turkey. So we're all crazy. We're all completely out of our minds because, unfortunately, we're living in the time period in which we're living. Right? But that doesn't mean I can't listen to the tzaddik to at least know what I really need and what I don't need. So when the tzaddik says, you don't need this, and he said, but I do need this. No, you don't. You really don't. Trust me. Be mevata yourself to the chacham amiti. And let him tell you what you need or what you don't need. The crazy person also thinks he needs to roll around in the mud. The tzaddik amiti, this person who is gadol mimenu, tells him that eino tzarech lasuskin, you don't need to live that way. You don't need to do that. Bittel, chevra, this is the key word. Bittel. To be mekashmir to a tzaddik means being mevata yourself to the tzaddik. That means you do things, right, that to you might seem crazy. The tzaddik says, this is what I should be focusing on. Nah, that's crazy. But who's really crazy? You are the tzaddik. The tzaddik presumably knows what he's talking about. You don't yet understand. That's because you're first emerging from your very confused state. And therefore, be mevata yourself to the one who's greater than you, the one who has truer wisdom, who has truer tzidkus. And if a person does so, he's able to uproot the shigayon, he's able to uproot the insanity of his life. Nimtza se'ikra shigayon hu, rak machmas shu'eino rotze lishmo le'tzayis le'divei chachamim, la'avein hadavar hetiv. Understand this well. Anything in our life, right, that we're doing which is truly insane, we might think it's perfectly normal and rational. But if we can pause, we can get a little bit above ourselves. We can listen to the tzaddik who's outside of ourselves, who has a much higher perspective. We can save ourselves a lot of heartache, and a lot of hardship, and a lot of craziness in our own lives, just by being mevatel ourselves to a true tzaddik. In Ayin Tes, he tells us a little bit further about what the tzaddik does to refine us. Sometimes a person comes to the tzaddik and he thinks he's a very good person. And maybe he is. Maybe he is a pretty good person. Again, ma'ami chulam tzaddikim. A person might look at his life and say, I am taller, I am refined and purified. And the tzaddik has the ability to refine him even further. How so? Look at the mashal Rabbi Nachman gives in Ayin Tes. A person thinks. You can experience this I experience this all the time on like a very small level. What does it mean to be connected to a tzaddik? Maybe one way of connecting to a tzaddik, obviously, is learning from a person who is more righteous than you, who is more knowledgeable than you, who is closer to true Torah values than you. Sometimes, I'll discover a certain rabbinic personality who I never knew of before, either through a sefer or through a shiur or maybe someone I meet, right? And you come in the presence of this person and you feel this total upheaval. You hear a shiur one time from this person. There's a topic you thought like you knew something about. And then you hear someone who, again, from a higher, more refined viewpoint, has a deeper understanding of something in the sugya of Avodas Hashem. And all of a sudden you feel like, oh my gosh, I thought I had this down. And I don't have anything. But that's good. That's the tzaddik refining you further. Look what he says here. A person comes to enter into a Avodas Hashem and to get close to a tzaddik, right? Let's tzaddik ha'emes, Ba'imei love here, hurim u'bilbulim gedolim. There's tremendous bilbulim. When a person first tries to attach to a tzaddik, there's a tremendous bilbul. Because why? Because the person has to break himself. To allow that tzaddik in, I have to be mavatal myself. It's very hard for us to be mavatal ourselves. We like to carry ourselves in a certain way. To allow ourselves to be swallowed up by someone else, that my whole essence should be consumed by another person. Like Rabbi Nachman has in Lakut Maran, the piece of Eretz Ocheles Yoshveh, the land that devours its inhabitants, how the tzaddik has the ability to take over and to consume you. So look what he writes here. A person has terrible bilbulim. What's happening? He gives a very clear mashal. Zekamola mashal kli mayim shemitchila nira kilu hamayim tzlulim. You take a pot of water, you're looking in the water. Water looks clear, looks fine. Looks fit for drinking. What do? You take that pot of water, you place it on the fire. And now you start to cook up the water. What happens, Chavra? What's going to happen? The water starts to enter a state of bilbul. The water starts to heat up, starts to bubble, starts to move around. And all of a sudden, as the water is being boiled, all of the impurities of the water start to emerge, start to rise to the surface. The water that I thought was so clean and pure, all of a sudden it does have some stuff, some junk mixed in, some impurities. And you need to therefore stand there, scraping the impurities off the top of the surface of the water. At first you thought the water was already perfectly pure and refined. And then every time you start to boil the water, all of a sudden what happens? You see that the impurities start to rise up. But as you scrape away those impurities, over time the water will actually become truly refined. Not just superficially as you initially assessed it. Yeah, the water is clean, the water is good. But now you'll really remove all the filth, even the dirt, even those impurities that are lurking beneath the surface. You're able to somehow bring them to the surface and to remove them entirely. Before a person begins to enter into Avodas Hashem, Azayatov Aramu Ravin Bo, he has a mix of good and evil blended inside of himself. We sometimes have certain negative traits that we don't even recognize. That they're so subtle illnesses of the soul that we don't even recognize them. So much so, it's so deeply blended together that I assess myself superficially. I say, I'm doing all right. I'm doing really well. And then all of a sudden, you have an encounter with a tzaddik, right? And you feel like such a katan. And you feel like I have so many things to work on. And you start to recognize all these little fine details of yourself. You just watch the tzaddik. You watch the way he talks, watch the way he eats, watch the way he walks. And all of a sudden, you feel like, I don't even know how to walk down the street like a Jew. I don't know how to eat like a Jew. I don't know how to talk like a Jew. And all of a sudden, these very subtle things start to rise to the surface. Because they were very tightly interwoven. But then this Jew is brave enough to realize that I'm not the be-all and end-all of the world. And I want to attach myself to those who are above me. Then he begins the real process of the refinement, of the clarification, the birurim. And sometimes what that means is that when you're in the presence of the tzaddik, certain negative things are going to rise to the surface. But that's good. That means that it's being drawn into view and you're able to scrape it off, sweep it away. You need to make sure you appoint someone, assign someone to remove the filth as it rises up. That could be assigning yourself to just remove it from yourself. And then you'll truly be left as a person of tremendous refinement. So these are the milas of attaching oneself to a tzaddik. You save yourself from insanity. You become truly refined, not just superficially. By your own assessment, are you refined? But you become truly refined. What about the person, Chas v'Shalom, who challenges the tzaddik? What about the person who denies the authenticity of the tzaddik? Turn to Kuf Yud Aleph. Some scary things. A person who's scornful of a tzaddik, a person who rejects a tzaddik, is in many ways doing a greater avla, a greater misdeed than rejecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. How can you say such a thing? It's a pasuk in Mishlei. In Kuf Yud Aleph, Sichas Ran Kuf Yud Aleph, Rabbi Nachman quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Yud Tes. Iveles Adam Tisaleif Darko. A man's folly, a person's stupidity, Iveles, his foolishness, Tisaleif Darko, causes a perversion of his way. Va'al Hashem, and upon Hashem, look carefully, Yizaf Libo. He casts his grudge, his anger, his frustration, he takes it out on God. Again, a person's foolishness causes him to pervert his way. And he takes out, begrudgingly, he acts out al Hashem. He speaks out against Hashem. He acts against Hashem. Yizaf libo. He casts the burdens of his heart, the anger of his heart, the grudges of his heart, he takes them out on God. Perish. Misha eino mekusher mekurov letzadik amiti. A person who's not attached to true tzaddikim. Azai kol avadasu hu rak kamo misha me'akim atzmo u'misdame lechavero kekof b'fnei adam. Do you want to be a real person? Or you want to be a monkey? Rabbi Nachman says, if you're not attached to a real tzaddik, you could walk this world thinking you're a person, you're a refined person. You're like that pot of water. I look at the pot, the water's clean, the water's pure. And yet, the same way that a monkey can walk around and mimic many of the signs of a real person, right? So too a person who's not attached to a tzaddik is like a monkey. It's like a person who's mimicking those who have real quality, but he's not the real thing. Again, he's like a monkey compared to a man. There's a lot of similarities. It looks kind of like the real thing, but it's anyone who knows it's not the real thing. This is what it means that a man's own folly, his own stupidities, right, his refusal to mevatel himself to anyone else but himself, is tisalif darko, causes him to walk a perverted path. He doesn't realize that every step he takes is a perversion of something real. He thinks, what do you mean? This is it. And if he's not convinced that this is it, he says, this is a miniature version of it. Right? No, it's not. It's a complete perversion of it. Saying that a monkey, that a person comes from a monkey, is a disgrace to humanity. It's an insult to humanity. Why? There's a lot in common. That's true. They do have a lot in common. But every step that the monkey takes, right, is really just it's a mimicry of something real. It's like a person who's mimicking his friend. I can mimic a person, I can copy a person because I want to be like them. And the indication is that I'm going to continue to try to work more to be like them, or I can just be mocking them. So in a sense, you're mocking real Avodas Hashem when you're walking around disconnected from the true tzaddikim, not willing to mevatel yourself to the advice, to the guidance of anyone who's bigger than you, you become a bizayon. And it becomes a perversion of his way. V'atam ki va'al Hashem yiz'af libo. Now look what he says here, very strong. He says, va'al Hashem yiz'af libo. The grudges of his heart, he carries them out against, he casts them al Hashem, upon Hashem. But what does al Hashem hint to? The tzaddik is that aspect, is that expression of al Hashem. How is the tzaddik al Hashem, upon Hashem, over Hashem, kiviyachol? Kimi moshel bi tzaddik. Because the Gemara has in several places that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mevatel himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mevatel himself to the tzaddikim. What does that mean? It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a gzera and a tzaddik mevatel it. Or a tzaddik makes a gezerah and a kodesh baruch is mekayim it. That Hashem says, Nitzchuni banai, Nitzchuni banai. When they didn't listen to the baskol and bal mitzvah, and Hashem says, I'm so proud, my children have defeated me. Because they chose to follow the tzaddikim and not to follow the voice coming out of the heavens. So al Hashem refers to what? The tzaddik, who in a sense, in some strange sense, is al Hashem, is above a kodesh baruch kiviyachol. And therefore, yizaf libo. When a person challenges the tzaddik, amiti, then what happens? He perverts his ways, and his act against the tzaddik is in fact even greater than an act against Hashem Himself. And Rabbi Nachman concludes, look at the last line, Ki im ein mamish ba'avoda, ki im ayidei ha-tzadik amiti kemuva b'makom acher. Because there is no true avoda, ki ein mamish ba'avoda. There can be no true avoda until a person makes sure, he checks himself by the light of the tzadik amiti. Very, very strong and frightening words about a person who doesn't attach himself to a tzadik amiti. One more piece about a person who pulls away from a tzaddik amiti. And I want to share with you just one little chiddush that I was zocheh to receive, to have last night. Resh Pei Beis. Resh Pei Beis. Sichah Zaran 282. Amar Le'echad. Kishenifradin chas v'shalom me'atzadikim ki'ilu ovdin avodah zarah. When a person is not connected to tzaddikim, it's as if he's worshipping Avodah Zarah. In the simplest sense. Avodah Zarah means what? Foreign worship. What do we just say about the person who challenges the tzaddik, who doesn't respect the tzaddik, who doesn't take the advice of the tzaddik? His avodah is Zarah. His worship ain't b'mamish. It's foreign. It's not the real thing. Says Rabbi Nachman, when a person is poured from the tzaddik, it's as if he's worshipping Avodah Zarah. Ki yisa b'zara kadosh, shat tzaddik hu kutza da'os dalid. What's Rabbi Nachman saying here? What's the Zohar saying here? We know that the letter Dal and the letter Resh look very similar. And in fact, in the Torah, kibiyachol, so to speak, puts itself under a microscope in order to make sure that we don't confuse the Dalet and Resh. Where do we find a large Dalet in the Torah? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Where do we find a large Resh in the Torah? In a pasuk which is the antithesis of Shema. In Parshas Kisi, so what does it say? Lo sishtachave le'el acher, with a large Resh. You have a large Dalet in Hashem Echad, and you have a large Resh in El Acher. That's what the Gemara says, be very careful. A sofer has to be so careful. Because if a sofer is not careful, with a slight slip of the pen, a dalet becomes a resh, and therefore the pasuk says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Acher, God forbid, or Lo Tishtachave Le'el Echad Chas V'Shalom. You can come to Kvira if you separate the dalet from the resh. If you don't understand the fine detail, the kutz, the point on the back of the resh turns it into a dalet. And therefore, when a person is poured, when there's a separation between the dalet and the resh, then chas v'shalom, nasa chas v'shalom acher. Echad, our attachment to Hashem Echad becomes what? God forbid, acher. A belief in the Sitra Acher. A belief in Elohim Acherim. Shehu el acher kfirus. Which is the root of all kfira. Who would you say, which person or which people, that's sort of the giveaway, in history showed the greatest lack of bittul? Okay, Korach is certainly a good suggestion. Who else? Dora Mabel, also a good suggestion. Right? Certainly we could put a Malik on the list. When the whole world was trembling from Klal Yisrael and from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a Malik said, I'm not impressed. A Malik is called a Leitz. To be mezalzel, when something big, really authentically big is taking place, and you say that, doesn't impress me. You're Tzadik Amiti, not impressed. A Malik is very scornful. A Malik's refusal and rejection of a Kaddish Baruch Hu in a very just kind of pushing Hashem aside, a very scornful type of way, showing no interest. You claim to be Hashem Echad, you claim to be everything. I want to show you you're just Acher, you're nothing. Not even you're up there. Yeah, you're Acher, you're nothing. That's why the Sfarim point out, the Arizal brings, that when the Pasuk says, Lo Sishtachav El Acher, what's the Gematria of El Acher? El is 31. Acher is 209. 31 and 209 is 240. Gematria Malik. Because this attitude of El Acher is the Amalek attitude. The difference between the Dalet and the Resh. And therefore the avodah of the Tzaddik is to make sure that your Dalet and your Resh are very clear. I don't know why Rabbi Nachman doesn't say it here, but it seems obvious to me. Maybe he's alluding to it. What's the Gematria of the word Tzaddik? What's the gematria of the word tzaddik? 204. 204 is Dalet and Resh. Dalit plus Resh is 204. Tzadik is Gematria, Dalit plus Resh. Why? Because the avodah of the Tzadik is to make sure that I know what the El Acheres of my life are, and I know what the Echads of my life are. That's why, at the end of Parshas B'Shalach, when we fight against the Malik, what does it say? Nochama l'Hashem ba'al Malik, me, door, door. How is it spelled in the Torah? Yeshem l'mikra, Yeshem l'mesoris. Yesterday's Sanhedrin daf Dalit and Aleph, yeah? It's spelled what? Dalit Resh, Dalit Resh. Because the battle against the Malik is the battle of Dalit versus Resh. Dalit versus Resh. The Tzaddik, the Gematria, Dalit plus Resh, is the one who keeps my Dalit in the right place and my Resh in the right place. I know what's Acher and I know what's Echad. And there's no confusion. Which pasuk? By Amalek? At the very end of the parshas of Peshalach. B'chama l'Hashem ba'amalek midor dor. Mem dalid resh, no vavs. Midor dor. And there's a lot of Purim Torah on that for another time. Ki ikar emunas, continuing in Resh Pei Beis. Ki ikar emunas hayichud hu al yedei tzadikim amitim. Shem kutzados dalid echad v'kanes kalel. The true amuna and amuna sayichur belief, absolute belief in Hashem. Again, like Rabbi Nachman told us, you don't think the real tzaddikim today, then you don't believe that Hashem is still around today. If you say, Hashem was good in the olden days, tzaddikim were good in the olden days, not true. If you want to have belief in a Kodesh Baruch Hu's absolute control, the echad of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you need to attach yourself to the tzaddik, because the tzaddik tells you what's a dal and what's a resh, what's authentic and what's fake. Not what you think is authentic, not the pot of water before it's boiled up, where you thought it was pure and refined. V'chein mavur inyan zeh b'kam makomas v'divrei Rabbeinu zichrono levracha she'ikar ha'emuna tola b'yiskarvas l'tzadikim amitim. However, let's conclude. She'ikar ha'emuna tola b'yiskarvas l'tzadikim amitim. That what? That the ikar ha'emuna of a person is dependent upon his attachment to the tzaddik. Because if you're not connected to the tzaddik, which is the embodiment of the dalit, the kutz on the back of the dalit, then for sure you're going to slip into the world of acher. And the world of acher is the world of amalek, the world of complete confusion and complete bittul. Bittul meaning amalek. Why does amalek have to become bittul? Why is amalek shaken off, so to speak? Go back to where we started, chav beis. Why does amalek have to, Rishon need to be shaken away? We need to reject them entirely. Right? Amalek is destroyed completely, midah k'neged midah. Their lack of bittul to holy things causes them to be bittul umavutul, that they have to be completely destroyed. Ikra Amuna is dependent upon his karvas tzaddikim. However, you remember the Gemara in Maseches Makos. Chabakuk v'amidon al achos. Chabakuk came along and said, if I had to sum up all 613 mitzvos, I can say it in one pasuk. One idea. What is it? Emuna. B'tzadik b'emunaso yichya. That a Jew lives by his Amuna. If I have to sum up the whole entirety of the Torah, it's all about Amuna. It's what the entirety of the Torah is about. But I was thinking last night, V'tzadik b'emunaso yichya. Let's think about that for a second. V'tzadik b'emunaso. What's a vav? If you look carefully, look in Chabakuk. It's not tzadik b'emunaso yichya. It's v'tzadik b'emunaso yichya. What is a vav? Sure. Vav is makasher, right? Vav achibur. Vav means a hook. That's what the word literally means. It attaches something. V'tzadik b'emunaso yichya. V'tzadik, a person who's makusher le'tzadikim b'emunaso yichya, will have the emuna to make it to the end. And he won't be shaken off of the kanfos ha'aretz when Hashem is shaking the world to free the world of Rishon. So Rabosei, I want to conclude with one final piece. Kuf Lamed Ches. Because unfortunately, many of the tzaddikim, as much as we do believe in the tzaddikim of our world, and we should believe in the tzaddikim of our world, many of the tzaddikim were not zocha. We were never zocha to meet the Baal Shem Tov. We were never zocha to meet Rabbi Nachman. We never met the Kedushas Levi. We never met the Heilige Berditcher. We never met these tzaddikim. We've encountered them through... We never met the Rishner, the Heilige Rishner. We never met the Rebbe of Kamarna. We never met these tzaddikim. We never saw them. We never got to look them in the face. We never shook Rav Tzadok's hand. We have one picture here of the Shem Yishuel, who we're just getting to meet. But from a distance. From a distance. Right? But we want to meet them. We want to shake their hand. We don't want to just look at a picture of a cook. We want to interact with him. So how do we interact with the tzaddikim? We learn their Torahs, right? But we also share their stories. And I want to conclude with Kuf Lamed Ches. Shamati mipiv HaKadosh Be'esh Shediber Imanu Migodol Inyan Shal Sipurei Maiseos Mitzaddikim. However, how do we attach ourselves to tzaddikim not from our time period? You know how we attach to them? We learn about them, we talk about them, and we share the stories of them. The stories of their lives. bring us into their lives. Even more so than their Torahs, perhaps. Shenitpas b'svarav kedoshim. Rabbi Nachman would speak about the importance of Sipurei Tzadikim. V'omer oz shu ba'atzmo zichrono levracha. Rabbi Nachman said about himself, Iker hisoveruso lavoras Hashem yisbarach be'emes hay al yedei Sipurei Maisyas mitzadikim. Listen to this. Rabbi Nachman said for himself that his greatest hisoveris came from listening to Sipurei Tzadikim. He says, if we assess Rabbi Nachman to be a tzaddik amiti, which we do, he says about himself, my excitement in the Avodas Hashem came from hearing stories of tzaddikim. How did he hear so many stories of tzaddikim? He tells us. V'siper shebebeis aviv v'imo atzaddikim zechon olivracha, in his parents' home. Hayushchichim sham kol atzaddikim. He heard stories of tzaddikim from the tzaddikim of his time. And he heard stories about tzaddikim from before his time. Because the tzaddikim spent a lot of time in his parents' home. Why? Because so many of the tzaddikim lived or passed through Mezhbush, because people wanted to come to the place of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, and so many of those tzaddikim passing through stayed where? Where did they stay when they came? They stayed in Rabbi Nachman's house. You know why? Because that was the house of the Baal Shem Tov. Rabbi Nachman told us that he was zoche to whatever he was zoche to because of his attachment to tzaddikim through the Sipurei Tzaddikim. So I want to end with a story from a tzaddik, which I think is exactly this inyan. This comes from Yaffa Eliach's Hasidic Tales of the Holocaust. I'm sure some of you know the story. It's the very first story in the book, on page 3 and 4. The story is called Hovering Above the Pit. It was a dark, cold night in the Janowska road camp. Suddenly, a stentorian shout pierced the air. You are all to evacuate the barracks immediately and report to the vacant lot. Anyone remaining inside will be shot on the spot. Pandemonium broke out in the barracks. People pushed their way to the doors while screaming the names of friends and relatives. In a panic-stricken stampede, the prisoners ran in the direction of a big open field. Exhausted, trying to catch their breath, they reached the field. In the middle were two huge pits. Suddenly, with their last drop of energy, the inmates realized where they were rushing on that cursed dark night in Janowska. Once more, the cold, healthy voice roared in the night. Each of you dogs who values his miserable life and wants to cling to it must jump over one of the pits and land on the other side. Those who miss will get what they rightfully deserve. Imitating the sound of a machine gun, the voice trailed off into the night, followed by a wild, coarse laughter. It was clear to the inmates that they would all end up in the pits. Even at the best of times, it would have been impossible to jump over them, all the more so on that cold, dark night. The prisoners standing at the edge of the pits were skeletons, feverish from disease and starvation, exhausted from slave labor and sleepless nights. Though the challenge that had been given to them was a matter of life and death, they knew that the SS and the Ukrainian guard, for the Ukrainian guards, it was merely another devilish game. Among the thousands of Jews on that field, in Janowska, was the Rebbe of Bluzhev, Rebbe Yisrael Shpira. He was standing with a friend, a free thinker from a large Polish town whom the rabbi had met in the camp. A deep friendship had developed between the two. Spiro, all of our efforts to jump over the pits are in vain. We only entertain the Germans and their collaborators. Let's sit down in the pits and wait for the bullets to end our wretched existence, said the friend to the rabbi. My friend, said the rabbi, as they were walking in the direction of the pits, man must obey the will of God. If it was decreed from heaven that pits be dug and we be commanded to jump, pits will be dug and jump we must. And if God forbid we fail and fall into the pits, we will reach the world of truth a second later after our attempt. So, my friend, we must jump. The rabbi and his friend were nearing the edge of the pits. The pits were rapidly filling up with bodies. The rabbi glanced down at his feet, the swollen feet of a 53-year-old Jew ridden with starvation and disease. He looked at his young friend, a skeleton with burning eyes. As they reached the pit, the rabbi closed his eyes and commanded in a powerful whisper, "We are jumping." When they opened their eyes, they found themselves standing on the other side of the pit. Spira, we're here, we're alive, the friend repeated over and over again, while warm tears streamed from his eyes. Spira, for your sake, I'm alive. Indeed, there must be a God in heaven. Tell me, Rebbe, how did you do it? I was holding on to my ancestral merit. I was holding on to the coattails of my father and my grandfather and my great-grandfather, blessed memory, said the rabbi, and his eyes searched the black skies above. Tell me, my friend, how did you reach the other side of the pit? I was holding on to you. I was holding on to you, replied the rabbi's friend. Based on a conversation with the Bluzhev Rebbe, January 3rd, 1975. So Birtz Hashem, halavai, we should hold on to the tzaddikim. Whether we can hold them up close or we can hold them from a distance through Sipurei tzaddikim. But we should realize that tzaddikim are only coming to help us. That if the pot is being boiled over, even though it's uncomfortable, that refinement is what's going to make us into true, authentic Jews. We shouldn't walk this world like delusional monkeys. But we should be people who are tzaddikim amitim. And we should be mekayim, each and every one of us, about ourselves. That ba'am echulam tzaddikim. That every one of us should become a tzaddik amitim and give a tremendous nachas ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Amen. Sure.